You're listening to Find Your Feminine Fire, the podcast where we talk sex, love, and relationships and all things that light you up from the inside out. I'm your host, Amanda Testa. Thanks so much for being here today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Find Your Feminine Fire podcast. I am your host, Amanda Testa, and today I am very excited to have as our guests the founders of Tantra Nova. We have Dr. Elsbeth Moit and Freddie Zintal Weaver, and we are going to be diving into awakening your feminine essence and more. So thank you so much for being here today. Dr. Elsbeth and Freddie have assisted thousands of couples and singles create lasting intimacy and fulfillment in their relationships. And I would love if you would just take a moment to kind of share a little bit about what led you to this work. Thank you so much again for being here today.
Thank you so much, Amanda. It's a great pleasure.
Yeah, really excited to be here with you and your listeners today.
So how did we come to what we are doing now and what we are sharing now? Our journey was quite different before we met each other. So a little bit about myself. I grew up in Germany and came to the United States in my late 20s. To do postgraduate work in music, and then moved on to getting my doctorate in education. And then I moved into management consulting. And after a while, I had gotten really good at the consulting part. That was in the 90s. And I was miserable in relationship. So I had come to a point in terms of relationships where I felt really, really despaired. I had this pattern of attracting unavailable men. And while that was exciting at times, most of the time I was alone. And there came this moment when I thought, you know, wow, perhaps I have to leave this planet without ever having had experienced lasting intimacy and love. And I didn't want to settle for that. And I also had gotten at that time that it may have something to do with me that I attracted these unavailable men. You know, if it shows up more than once or twice, we can get, aha, there's something over here that eludes us, that produces the same result, in my case, a result that I really actually didn't want. And so I put myself on a path, tapped deeply into meditation and then into the tantric practice. And in the tantric experience and healing, what opened up for me was that I discovered that I held distrust towards men. Now, I was not aware of that, because if you, Amanda, had known me 20, 25 years ago, you never would have, you know, told me that I look like a distrusting bitch. I was charming. I reeled them in. I mean, really. However, underneath all of it was a deep-seated distrust, or better said, like you cannot really trust men. And so what opened up for me was to really go back to where that may all originate from. And what came up for me in the healing rituals was an experience when I was 18 years old. I was in love with my first boyfriend. We had really experienced 2 years of bliss and joy and wonderfulness. And then he asked me to have intercourse, which I really was not ready for. But I thought, if he wants it, then, you know, I'm going to do it. And it was so painful. I had to go to the gynecologist, and the bill from the gynecologist went to my house. My dad opened it, and all hell broke loose. That was a time when I felt so alone, so not understood. You know, and the boyfriend left within a few weeks after this intercourse experience. So I'd lost the boyfriend. My dad was vilifying who I was, like really degrading in terms of my sexual intimate self. And that was the time when I just turned inside, armored myself, and decided that men are never there for you when you really need them. Mm. And that stayed with me. And that was like the underlying message I lived my life by in terms of relationship, in terms of men. No wonder that I, you know, attracted an availability, because there was this underlying not trusting, so I was not available. And so that shifted really through this tantric healing and opened up for me to trust myself more fully, because often that goes first, like, why did I let this happen? Why didn't I say no? Why didn't I stand up for myself? You know, like kind of blaming. So trusting myself more deeply than trusting men in general. And then 6 months later, my beloved Freddy Sintal came into my life. And I totally feel that I could only see him and connect with him because of that healing and recalibration within. Now, Freddie is a very different story.
Hi, Amanda. How are you doing?
I'm doing so well, and I'm so happy to have you both here. I love your story, so thank you so much for sharing it.
Okay. So, well, I was first introduced to the practices we teach at Tantra Nova when I was 13. I was living in the beautiful islands of Hawaii with my dad, who at the time was a practicing psychiatrist and very committed to his own transformational process and practice in his life. Well, I was spending, as going through my puberty, a lot of time in the shower. And well, he took pity on me and gave me a book to read on how to integrate meditation and sex practices. So that was my first introduction to sacred sexual meditative practice. My girlfriend loved it and I enjoyed it. Kept reading books through college. I was an athlete on scholarship. After college, I applied it to my personal relationships and kept doing workshops to learn more. Professionally, I taught school for a while with the LA Unified School District. I did stand-up comedy for a while and in the movie business. And then I got married at the time and settled into the software business for a long time in San Francisco. And I was excited about it at first. It was really a challenge and interesting and, you know, pioneering new things happening. After about 15 years, it was just a job. My divorce had happened years earlier. And I was single and looking for a reinvigorated inspiration in my life. There was a work opportunity in Chicago. So they flew me out here and we came upon agreement. They hired me. I moved out here to Chicago. That was about 17, 18 years ago. I was single online looking for a Shakti, a female tantra partner, and Elsbeth's profile popped up on a website. And we met, and almost immediately, you know, there was this kismet, you know, and we created this baby, which is Tantra Nova, and we've been tending this baby for the last 18 years, working all over the world with thousands of couples and singles and individuals, teaching them how to, you know, move towards their creative, authentic, personal, actualized selves through the practices that we teach. And it's, we're at Tantra Nova, so we're Tantra new, so we're integrating some of the original yoga of Tantra, which is one of the original yogas of the energetic body. Meditation and breathing practices and working consciously with our sexual energy. And then also with some of the Western approaches to transformation in terms of psychology, listening, generative language, how we create our reality and language, creative self-discovery, how we discover ourselves in the creative process, music, movement, and art. And that's what we've been doing. Love it.
So just as we are, you know, black and white, like contrast, Freddie got introduced by his dad to these beautiful practices. As you heard earlier, my upbringing was very different. There was a lot of suffering around my sexual intimate expression, although I didn't give up on it. And then we were brought together, or we pulled each other into each other's lives, and both of us got then certified as Tantra educators. And then we started Tantra Nova to share the opportunity of creating lasting intimacy and love in our lives with our beloved, unlike, you know, what we are all used to is falling in love. But when I fall in love, while it may feel great, I don't know what I did. Usually it happens to us. So if I don't know what I did, I cannot replicate it. And that is one of our key commitments here at Tantra Nova, to offer principles and practices that allow individuals and couples to start creating their relationship consciously into the future.
Mm.
I love that. Consciously creating it. I love the contrast of your stories, you know, how you both got into this work. I think, wow, how amazing would it be if every 13-year-old was given this kind of teaching? Wow, what a different experience it would be for many, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. We had a youth program. It was great to see some of these young people really get for the first time that they were more than the conversations and stories running around in their head. You know, what to do after high school and, you know, the fight they had with their parents and falling in love and out of love and all the sexual energy and so on. It's a great foundational training for life.
Mm-hmm. And I love how you mentioned the Tantra new, but just like taking these beautiful ancient teachings and traditions and making it very accessible. And I really feel like you do such a great job of that, of just bringing this work to the mainstream because it's so important.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah. And I know there's so many beautiful ways we could kind of go with this talk today, but I really would love to kind of dive in a little bit. I know you also have the passion of really helping women to awaken their feminine essence. And I would love if you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit more about kind of what that means to you and how obviously we need to take responsibility for our own healing and our own selves first. I feel like that's so important. So would you share a little bit more about that if you don't mind, Elspeth?
Yeah. I love to. It's also very much my own journey that called me into dedicating my life to supporting women in their opening, in their connection, reconnection to their wonderful, creative, feminine, what I call essence, that is, you know, of course, founded in our womb. So that is where our life force energy, a little lower, but where our life force energy emanates from. And for us, for many of us, that energy got actually shut off, not consciously, but for one thing, just living in this culture that we are living in, where feminine essence is vilified, where feminine sexual energy is vilified. And culture, I don't mean just in the United States, I mean the world culture, where male prowess is celebrated and feminine sexual expression is vilified. And not to place blame, it is important that we see that, because it is then a further opening to actually reclaiming the beauty of our feminine essence. So the feminine essence emanating from the womb area up into the heart, because when a woman wants to connect with herself or with another, she opens up, she feels it in her heart. Unlike men, they start feeling it in their sexual center when they want to connect. And you can see that could create disconnect. He's looking for the sexual connection. She's looking for the heart connection. Because my heart, my, what we call in Sanskrit, the yoni, which is the womb, which is the sexual center of a woman, unless the heart opens for the woman, the yoni doesn't open. Mm-hmm. Yoni means sacred space. And you, Amanda, said earlier, how would it have been or how would it be if every 13-year-old would be introduced to him and herself as a sacred sexual being? And for women, how would it have been for us when we were teenagers if we had been introduced to our sexual center as a sacred space? A sacred space is a space we honor, we cherish, we respect, we love, you know, and of course we want to invite only another who, of course, would love and honor and cherish my sacred space as well. However, in order to bring that forth, I need to first honor and cherish my space. So back to what you said, it's like the healing of self that then opens up to greater vista in sharing ourselves. So we work with like three anchors, so to speak. So there's the sexual anchor, there's the heart and love anchor, and then there is the mind and consciousness center. And this is actually true for all of us, no matter if we are a woman or a man. To come to wholeness, we want to reintegrate these three dimensions, these three centers. So it's very much about allowing ourselves to tap into that source and resource of our creative, feminine, yes, sexual self, because the sexual is creative and it comes built in with pleasure. They go hand in hand. So for our own sake, and then for the sake of how we want to express ourselves in the world.
I love that. What would be some of your favorite tools or practices to kind of access that sensual spark and you really activate that feminine essence? I'm sure there's many, but what would you kind of say as a starting point?
Yeah, would it be okay just to lead everybody in a short practice?
I would love that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So everyone who is listening can actually tap into that. And if you could place your right hand right above your pubic bone, that's the area of your feminine, wonderful creative center. And you may even, you know, apply just very tiny pressure so that you feel the hand cupping, holding your sacred space for a moment. And then if you wish to close your eyes, feel free. Exhale all air when you are ready. Then take a deep breath through the nose. Follow the breath down into the lungs, down into the diaphragm, all the way down into your sacred space. And notice how your belly extends into the hand. And on the exhalation, visualize sending the breath back up and out of your nostrils. Again, deep breath in through the nostrils, down into the lungs, pushing down the diaphragm, sending it all the way down into your sacred space, opening that space into the hand, the belly. And on the exhalation, sending the breath back up and out of the nostrils. Let's do this one more time. Deep breath in, all the way down. Imagine you are kissing your sacred space, your yoni, your sexual center with a breath. And on the exhalation, let the breath move up and down and dissipate out of your nostrils. And then just continue breathing in your own rhythm. Feel each time how your belly, how your sacred space opens into your hand. And on the exhalation, notice how the belly flattens. And while you breathe in and out, feel into your beautiful, creative, luscious, joyous, pleasure self. And then come back by opening your eyes. And Amanda, if you could be so kind and share a little bit how you feel right now, what may have shown up for you through this short practice.
That was so beautiful. Thank you for leading that. I definitely feel an activation and a tingling all throughout my sacred center and just feel kind of like this inner smile that's kind of building throughout my whole body. I just have this huge smile on my face. Mm-hmm. Feel so much more just connected to myself and my body.
Oh, beautiful. And if you as a listener, you may have other feelings or similar feelings, just be with what showed up for you. There's no right or wrong. It's just you feeling yourself. You cannot do this practice wrong. So that's a beautiful practice to tap into every day, to connect in a visceral way with our creative center.
I think that's such a beautiful example too of how easy it can be. You know, it's just taking a couple moments.
Yes.
And have that connection. I think so many women will tell me, oh, I'm so busy and I have to do this and that. And I was like, it doesn't take a lot of time. It's just intention, really.
Yeah. Yes. Also, do you want to talk a little bit about the belly breath, what it does?
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. Yeah. So that breathing, the parasympathetic breathing, is really foundational in our practice and in any meditation, because we're always so in our head. And the stories often that are running or creating a lot of the discord are places and experiences that we aren't even aware of are there. So when we just start to focus on the breath, and we develop then the next piece, which is the watcher or the witness to the story. And then we start to step a little bit away or get a little pause from what we call the total felt sense of the story. And then from there, start moving towards what we want to create. It gives us a little bit of space. So yeah, the parasympathetic breathing versus sympathetic breathing, where we're breathing into the belly, expanding the into the diaphragm, extending the belly, producing more endorphins, serotonin, oxytocin, the feel-good hormones. So really breathing consciously in this way, the Buddha belly, is really putting our body and our physical self in a chemical state of ease.
And then bringing this down all the way into our creative pleasure self is just a beautiful way of connecting with it. And also the breath really connects us on that whole axis simultaneously. And there's something else I would like to expand into, which has to do with like opening up to myself allows me then to open up to Freddie, to another, in terms of being there for me. So in our work with, you know, opening the feminine, particularly when we do it in a context of where there are couples, or we often have also singles come to our co-ed workshops. So women and men come by themselves and then they pair up in a practice partnership. How the man learns to be holding the space for the feminine, which has to do with bringing himself without any agenda of his own, like not wanting something from the woman, not without expectations that it should look a certain way. It's very much a heart space where the man is coming from, yet grounded in his masculine, not driven by his masculine.
Yeah, and that stuff will come up, but it's the belly breath and the witness that allows us to keep moving towards our senior commitment, which is to again hold space and be present. So a lot of these things, instead of beating ourselves up and, oh, I can't control it, it's just like, oh, it comes up and, oh, there it is, because we're much more than our thoughts.
You mean the arousal.
The arousal or the lust that it can appear to lust as lust when we want to connect, because that's where we start as guys. We started, as Els mentioned earlier, in the lingam or the penis. And so it appears as though we just want to, you know, pleasure ourselves, whereas we're just a little denser when it comes to emotional expression and connection. It's a part of socialization. It's part of physicality. You know, like the little boy who comes to the dad crying and the dad says, come back and talk to me when you can, you know, speak to me like an adult or a man. Mm-hmm. Little girl, same age, comes to the dad crying and he says, oh, baby, what's wrong? And so she's much more, the woman is much more supported to socially to be and allow emotion. Whereas we as men are kind of socialized to hold it together, you know, don't show your, you know, fear, don't, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and sports and war and all that. So,
yeah. So this is really cultivated through the tantric practices where the man learns to connect with his sexual center and breathing up that wonderful energy into his heart, because from his heart, he can connect with her. From his heart, when the woman is connected that with that way, she feels gotten. She feels, he's here for me. He can hold me. You know, he has room for whatever may open up, show up, you know, from the tears to the anger, to the joy, to the pleasure, like being free with abandon that is can show up in that holding of the space by the men of the woman. Now, what we are sharing here is not only applicable to heterosexual couples, it just applies to homosexual couples, because there's always the yin and yang balance between the two partners. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a magnetism. And it is present in transgender couples, in everything in between. So because it's an energetic thing of the one that is more in their feminine and the other one that is more in their masculine, particularly coming into the beloved embrace. I'm not saying that a woman always is in her feminine. I'm a lot also in my masculine. And I love to be in my masculine because I produce a lot. However, I had to learn to balance myself and open up to my feminine more and more and more. And Amanda, the journey keeps going, you know, so it's beautiful. And that is really where women feel being heard and where masculinity can show up in its most gracious and powerful way.
I love how you describe that too, because I know, and Freddie, you mentioned too, and I actually recently watched a documentary about that. I think it's called The Mask You Live In. Not sure if you've seen that, but it does speak to how men are conditioned, boys are conditioned in our society to really only feel comfortable expressing, you know, anger, or they're not really taught to learn how to, you know, express their feelings, let them flow through. So I think it's interesting that you point that out, and that how, you know, these are learned practices that you can tap into. And then, you know, you mentioned that being able to hold that space, and how as a woman, I can just tell you from my own experience how that has shifted in my husband and I's relationship, because I think in some ways I thought I had opened myself to him, but I really had not. And when you get to these deeper levels, you can fully, you know, surrender and express all of you, and know you can be held and witnessed in that, and vice versa. Then you can also allow that for your partner to surrender into you as well.
No, absolutely. It is a balance and an awareness. And for men in the tantric practices, that's one of the things that they open up to, which is what's possible in terms of their emotional expression and depth. And I must say, in relationship, the challenge often is that yin-yang or masculine and feminine balance, because the woman is coming into her power in the world, and the sexual expression is just one dimension, a foundational dimension of really what's shifting in the world. And for the man to be present to what comes up in terms of our jealousy or wanting to control or keep a woman, you know, locked into some belief that, you know, her sexual self belongs to him or only to them, when he is much more lauded to be out in the world being the playboy or being the, you know, Svengali, whatever. And so you can have all those things. And the one thing that I think makes the difference in relationship is are the agreements you create with each other. For the man, when the woman is in her masculine, to get that, but not lose ourselves in our feminine and then feel regretful or angry about that, or to over-masculinize by being angry and aggressive when we feel the resistance of, you know, being in our feminine. So those awarenesses and those balances really require the vigilance of self-awareness, because they are so automatistic that we often don't even recognize it until we're way down the road.
Yeah. That self-awareness piece is key.
Yes, totally.
And what's interesting with the sexual piece, with meditation, you know, just the breathing, we become aware. Now, when we add some of the other distinctions into a sexual ritual practice, what happens is the sexual energy further leads us into a deepening and a deeper listening. Because whether we're doing a conscious practice in sexual energy anyway, it's like the French say, it's like a little death. Where we, you know, we're without the story in our head, we're without any agenda, we're just in a moment of bliss. So if we can be in that, those moments of bliss, one, for the man to extend it, women are much more capable of having multiple moments of bliss in a sexual expression or moment or practice. And then be there with an intention to keep moving just in our awareness towards something we want to have more of in our life. We get more connected to a lot of, again, the total story that's running in the background that we don't often get to see.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense, but
that does make sense.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's go back to the feminine and also how that contrasts with the masculine in terms of sexual energy. So feminine sexual energy moves circular, is flowing, is capricious, is creative. We don't know if it's when it's coming or going. So it wants to be held so that it can swirl. And it calls for reawakening. So feminine sexual energy is based in estrogen. We call it the slow hormone. Unlike masculine sexual energy is based in testosterone, which is the quick hormone. Male sexual energy rises quickly, gets easily excited, and also drops quickly. Feminine sexual energy rises slowly, as I said earlier, you know, requires time, is coming and going. However, once it's reawakened, it can stay on a plateau for a long time. Multiple orgasms, orgasmic waves, you know, just feeling the orgasmic nectar. And that can be on a scale from 1 to 10, where 10 would be the climactic moment. It could be a 3, it could be a 9. Or even after climaxing, the woman has the capacity to continue to experience orgasmic waves because we don't have the refractory. Refractory means, do you want to talk about refractory?
Well, yeah, after the ejaculatory reflex, then the nervous system is like spent. So the penis or the lingam refracts. Basically, you know, the blood flow recedes and the lingam gets, you know, flaccid or soft. So for the man, learning how to work with his muscle awareness, conscious breathing, and an awareness of energetic levels in terms of the orgasm being, the ejaculatory reflex being, say, a 10, working initially with, say, 7 and 8, 9, 9 3/4, and then applying this breath and this muscle awareness and energetic awareness with conscious breathing up what we call the nectar of that higher aroused energy, and then holding the squeeze of the PC or pubococcus gluteus muscle, sending it down. That's a practice for men to cultivate, you know, not having to go into refractory.
Yeah. So in short, for the man is to learn to channel his wonderful life force sexual creative energy from his sexual energy center up into his heart, you know, into the third eye. So he becomes fully connected. And once he can really dance in that energy, he can stay with a woman for how long they both wish to stay in that orgasmic dance. And that is when a man actually becomes truly present and can stay present to himself and out of that to his beloved. And in that space, what opens up for the woman is trust. When the man is in the space of channeling and circulating his energy, then the heart opens, and when his heart opens, she feels safe. Mm-hmm. And he is truly there for her. And that opens up a woman's sexual self and the flow of her beautiful nectar. So as you can tell, there's really like this circular relationship between the two and opening up spaces that are otherwise not available. So it's most precious, as you probably can already tell from our sharing.
Yes. And I think it's such a beautiful, you know, I would love to, if you wouldn't mind speaking to this, because I know a lot of people are interested in kind of going down this road and exploring these practices. And, you know, maybe one partner is more excited than the other to give them a go. And so how would you kind of, you know, for example, if there's women listening, they could have their partner listen into this podcast episode, or, you know, what would be another way that you like to invite that in? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense, what I'm asking? Oh. One partner is not as receptive as the other, how you can like gently and lead them on board in a way that, you know, is inviting and not, you have to do this.
yes, totally. We actually encounter that, you know, frequently. Or one schleps the other, you know, to our workshop. Yeah. So there are a couple of ways of going about it. It depends on the relationship and where each partners are. There are times in relationship where one may be very curious and eager and open to exploring new consciousness levels. The other may not be there. There's always the possibility of starting your work by yourself. This is how I did it. When I was so lost in my despair about not having lasting intimacy and love in my life, said, okay, I need to do something. I'm not going to wait for a partner who may not come anyway, you know? Yeah. So, and someone may be in a relationship and feel like, how can I pull the other one along? that you start on your own and learn. So I went to do tantric workshops by myself. I went through the certification program as a solo. And it opened up so much for me because I could get and feel and sense where I was my own block. That didn't have to do with one particular person, with one particular man in all my prior relationships. It was me that got to reveal myself and then clear what was in the way. So that is one possibility. We often work with individuals who are in relationship, but their partner's not ready. So they come to do their own work and then bring that elevated awareness back to the relationship. And then learn how to invite. And sometimes it may be also the hour of truth that the two of them are not on the same wavelength. You know, then that needs to be faced too, instead of staying in suffering where I don't get what I'm looking for, what I want to explore. So it depends on, you know, where the relationship is. What always happens is there is a deepening of connection with oneself, and out of that, greater clarity arises that then makes us available to be a stronger inviter to the other, to bring the other into the possibility, or phase that perhaps it's time to go separate ways. Now, the other possibility is that to invite the partner to explore together, to learn together. And there in the process, it's really essential that for both gets clear what's at stake. So let's say one is curious to explore and learn further and the other not so. Then to really look together, what's at stake for our relationship if we are not going to go deeper in that intimate connection and learn how to do that, where may be our may our relationship be then in a year from now or 5 years from now? So it's really essential in relationship that we listen to each other and take the other's requests and wishes really important, because they may be the lifeline to the longevity of the relationship.
Yes, so powerful. And I love how you mentioned that, is that really looking into the future, like what will our relationship look like in a year or however long? And I know there's many different forms of relationship. And I think what I've found in my own experience is that I love the deepening that can happen if you're curious and open, you know, just allow yourself to approach it with that aspect.
And one other thing just occurred to me, which is to not give up, to look for ways to invite each other, to stay open to each other. And that really requires resolve within each of us. In any relationship, there are challenges. There may be blocks that may look at like it's we cannot overcome them. What I want to just invite everyone into, if you are in relationship, to not give up, to open your heart, listen to your partner and share what's important to you. So the other can hear you and then you can listen to what is important to the other, where we then can meet and see, okay, how could we adjust? How could we align? How could we give of ourselves that may, you know, support a deepening of the relationship? Because the thing is, like, if we don't cultivate this in our primary relationship, and we can go outside of the relationship, but if I cannot master it here, how could I master it with another relationship? Because if I go outside for the sake of avoidance or out of helplessness, guess what? It's going to happen in the other relationship too.
I think it's the agreements you make, because within the relationship, if once we get past the romantic drama, if we look at the relationship or any relationship really as an interpersonal growth opportunity, you know, to really allow one to allow the other to, you know, be seen, you know, beyond our own egos or our own, you know, imagination of who we think they should be or our old stories around family and relationship, but to be present to what is really required right now in allowing the other to be, or not allowing, but seeing the other person, right? And so sometimes, you know, after you've been together for a while, it might be bringing another person or persons into the relationship or going outside the relationship by mutual agreement to experience what it is you're not getting in the other relationship, in the senior commitment. And that might be the process of, you know, letting the other person be who they want to be without, you know, getting past their own jealousy or possessiveness or whatever might be there.
And as Freya said, that really needs to happen with total honesty, authenticity, because when we do something in secrecy, there is a constriction of energy. And that's just the opposite of what we want to bring about. Orgasm can only flow in that free flow.
But that kind of truth being does require continued vigilance in terms of our own personal growth and depth of listening and being with the emotions that come up around all of those kinds of you know, experiences, because it's not what we were taught as children, you know.
Right,
it's
right.
It's like, shut up, get in line. Don't you deign to question my authority.
Mostly not by our parents or by our parents' generation either. So, you know, just from our own life, as you know, Amanda, I just had recently a hysterectomy, like 2 weeks ago. And so through that surgery, well, my, you know, uterus was removed, that I really tapped into, like an armor was removed. And I went back to that 18-year-old and got connected with that. I had actually put an armor around my womb to never, ever feel that deep pain of loss, that not being able to be any longer with my beloved boyfriend. And that since I had that, you know, all the masculine energy in my life was against me. So it was deeply painful in my aloneness. And so in order to cope, I unconsciously put an arm around it. And I totally see this correlated to what opened up for me a couple of weeks ago when the flesh, so to speak, was removed. What was given way to was the cellular memory. And in the cellular memory, I remembered the pain. And it was really the last 2 weeks have been very emotional. I've been crying a lot. I hadn't been crying like this for years. And the beauty of it is that I could tap into the pain and then also see how that pain was hooked for me with bliss, because there was this blissful time with my boyfriend. And so having bliss and pain hooked, you know, who would want to feel the pain? So I cannot feel the bliss. And so by this surgery experience, a lot of it was removed and it was laid open. And in the process, of course, I shared a lot with Freddie, you know, and that how I wanted to be listened to and how I wanted to come into my own sensuous, creative, luscious, visceral, you know, self, and the wish to give myself more fully also in my relationship to Freddie and what that may mean to Freddie. And if you want to share a little bit how it was first for you, what came up for you?
Yeah, it was interesting, you know, just to see what was going on for Elsbeth and get her remembering all the stories from her first early sexual experiences and how they related to the surgeries. But for me, I was, you know, there's a lot of things that have come up in our relationship most recently that are, you know, challenges and opportunities at the same time.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel?
You know, I was angry, disappointed at some points, you know, fearful, confused. Yeah. But through it all, I saw that it was part of your process in terms of what you need. So I'll do what I need. You know, we all adjust to whatever's essential for our continued, you know, peaceful existence.
Yes. And so what I wanted to show with this example or bring home is that, like, through my opening to the tender Elsbeth that is yearning for expressing bliss and being in bliss, what does it take for me to actually allow that? Because what was needed is to move through the pain. And so then opening myself to Freddie on a whole new level, and by my shift, his world got a little shaken, you know, because it may call him into a new kind of a Freddie, or connecting with himself in a way that he may not have connected, or let's say to the level that we are talking about now. So it shakes up the cybernetics of the relationship. Mm-hmm. And to stay with that and to be truthful and open. And there was nothing I was holding back. And Freddie, in his opening over the last couple of weeks, really sharing his feelings and what got shaken up for him, and the opportunity of creating a new, or I would say at a new level, of what it means to intimately connect. We are very connected, you know, in many ways, and have cultivated that over the years. And there's a new level of intimacy that I'm getting a taste of that has to do with my opening and letting go and surrender, you know, with abandon. And that may be a little scary, and it also feels a little vulnerable. However, I'm ready now to go there. And I want to invite everyone who is listening to just see how my story may, you know, invite you and inspire you to tap deeper into yourself so that you can express yourself further, more fully, more, you know, in your aliveness and in your vulnerability.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And I love to see, I know people listening can't see, but I get to see you two here on the video, and I just see, you know, the beautiful energy between you two and the connection and the support. And I love how you mentioned too, you know, it's this deepening and the willingness to go there and move through things that can lead you, no matter how long you've been together, right? Almost 20 years for you two, and you're still opening and finding new depths of connection. So that's so beautiful to witness.
Yeah, things change. And, you know, how do we adjust to that change? And how do we keep what works in relationship and, you know, change what doesn't work anymore? Because after so long together, what happens is we get used to and start taking each other for granted and expect, and we do things to trigger different types of emotions unconsciously. Mm-hmm. So to create something new does require some vigilance. And it often is, you know, we're led to it by our discontent or by our consistent complaints about something. You know, that we continue to allow to be a complaint, and really there's no one out there but us. So what is it that's keeping me locked into a complaint, you know? So we can look at that as the thing that we can apply the breathing to, and the intentions to, and the, you know, living into a new possibility.
Beautiful. Well, I know we could just keep going talking forever here. And I'm so grateful that you were able to share this wisdom. And I know you offer so many amazing programs and things. So where can everyone find you?
Yeah. So you can find us on tantranova.com, TANTRANOVA. Tantranova.com, like supernova, tantranova. And under the program section, there are all our programs, workshops, co-ed workshops. I teach a women's workshop called Awaken to Your Feminine Essence. I work with women one-on-one, both in person and online. Just as Freddie has an all-men's workshop. And then the co-ed workshops we teach together. Freddie also works one-on-one with men. We work one-on-one with couples, again, in person, online. There are also, you know, our book is there, Sexual Enlightenment, and other audio downloads, video downloads that are available there. And then may I talk a little bit about the gift?
Yes, I would love if you would share that, please.
Okay, great. Given what we started in the conversation, we thought we would share with each of you who is listening today a gift. It's a video download called Awaken to Your Feminine Essence, so that you can learn a couple more of the practices that are foundational to our awakening in our feminine being, with our creative sexual energy and connect it with our heart and with our consciousness self. And so that's a gift. Perhaps you can say, Amanda, where they can find the link to the gift.
Yes, I will make sure to put them in the show notes so that you can easily access that. And that is going to be, it's a beautiful practices to help you really access that feminine essence and creative spark to turbocharge your life, relationship, and career. So thank you so much for sharing that with the listeners. And again, thank you so much for being here today. It's been lovely having you, and hopefully everyone listening is able to, you know, take some of these things and really take some time to digest how this affects you in your relationship and what you might like to bring in. Thank you so much for listening to the Find Your Feminine Fire podcast. This is your host, Amanda Testa, and it would mean the world to me if you enjoyed this episode to please share it, go to iTunes and give me a 5-star rating and a rave review so I can meet other wonderful listeners like you to continue these open and honest conversations. You can always find me on Facebook in my group, Find Your Feminine Fire group, and also on my website, amandatesta.com. Thanks so much again.